Hey everybody, and welcome to Indie Film Cafe. I'm your host, Jonathan Moody, and I'm here with
Happy Scrappy Hero Pup.
What?
She doesn't get that because I don't think she's ever seen Clerks. But what was your name?
Polly Presenza, known as the Moo Cow. Moo.
All right, and
I'm Lenore. I don't have a nickname.
Oh, maybe one day you'll have one for the show. But here we are. This is going to be a fun episode, actually, because Paul's never seen this flick. Lenore's never even, I mean, neither of them have heard of this flick, I don't think. Right? You haven't heard of this. And basically, it's a comedy produced by Kevin Smith, who's one of my favorite directors of all time. He actually acts in it a little bit. You'll see in a little bit. And then there's also, it's directed by Jeff Anderson.
Randall.
Randall from Clerks. So we'll go into more on that in a little bit. But, you know, I just wanted to basically kind of give this little introduction. They've never seen it. It's really fun. I got to see it at Vulgarthon, the Kevin Smith Film Festival. And I absolutely loved it then. I couldn't wait for it to come out on DVD. It came out, I think a couple years later. On DVD. So actually, I think it came out 2008, I want to say. It was much later. Here you go. Without further ado, let's introduce the
Mood Music.
And we're back. Hey everybody, we just finished watching Now You Know, so Now We Know.
Now We Know.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
And honestly, the whole mystery, okay, well, I guess I'll go into the whole thing of it. To begin with, as I mentioned before, this is a movie I saw at Vulgarthon in 2002. Vulgarthon?
Vulgarthon. Oh,
Vulgarthon. Vulgarthon is a film festival that Kevin Smith created based on his movie Vulgar that he produced, that Brian Johnson did based on his drawings or whatever. They made these,
This is a while ago,
yeah. They did one recently, I believe. They did another Vulgarthon, Vulgarthon 2019, I think. Huh. But unfortunately, I was not able to make it because I went to Texas Frightmare instead and didn't know about Vulgarthon until it was too late. So, because they didn't, it just kind of pops up and everything. But yes, exactly. So this movie was funded by Kevin Smith, I believe. It was at least presented by him. Actually, I think it was, okay, no, I'm wrong. No, it was presented by him, but it was, I believe, funded by a group called Lumberjack Productions. They were a company that was fundraising independent films, and I guess from what I've understood, they discovered Jeff Anderson's script, and they really liked it, and they decided that they wanted to make it. So they raised the budget. I'm not sure how much the budget was. Maybe it was I believe I heard it was 200,000, but that could be on the low end or that could be on the high end. I have no idea. I do know they have a lot of big name, sort of big name people that kind of show up as cameos in this movie. Right. So, which we'll go into when we get into the cast. But basically, here's the here's what IMDb had it set up as. Saying for the plot. On the eve of his bachelor party, a man learns that his fiancée wants to call off the wedding. The unmarried couple return to New Jersey to sort out the relationship. It's not really the plot, necessarily. I wouldn't go, because they're not really there to sort out their relationship. They go to New Jersey to kind of, they're supposed to have a wedding. They're supposed to be the wedding. So they're basically going there to kind of tell all their friends and everybody and tell everybody it's kind of put off. And poor grandma and grandpa don't get told that in Florida. So they come up to visit and things like that. So it's sort of, I don't want to say it's a romantic comedy. It's more like an unromantic comedy. It's not very romantic at all. Though it has a lot of heart, I would say. Would you say that, Lenore?
It felt very realistic. I don't know if it has a lot of heart or not. It was sort of boring.
Well, we'll get into, I guess, our real thoughts and everything about it. So first of all, the whole plot of the movie basically is the guy finds out, Jeremy finds out that his fiance is called off the wedding. He still has his bachelor party because his friend, this kind of a jerk guy by the name of Shane, is telling him, like, don't tell everybody, don't ruin this, you know, let's have fun and enjoy it. And, of course, Jeremy is so wrapped up in what's going on that he just doesn't care about the bachelor party or anything. Where we see a really cool cameo by Kevin Smith, who kind of tells him that, you know, basically what you put into it, you'll get out. And, of course, he goes and has sex with a stripper or hooker or whatever that's there. And I don't know. It starts out with the bachelor party. And that, I think that goes on a little too long. Like, I felt like they could cut the bachelor party down.
Oh, yeah.
I think it slowed the movie to begin with. And that kind of hurt it. Like, I think it, if I'm correct, it took about like 15 minutes for the bachelor party. And I just felt like that went on a little bit too long. And then we meet the guys in New Jersey. We meet Biscuit. And what was Jeff Anderson's name? Do you remember? He didn't get called. Gil. We meet Gil. Biscuit and Gil. And they are these, like, they have their own lawn service called the Lawn Rangers. And so the Lawn Rangers are just him and this other guy, and they go and, you know, mow grass. Unfortunately, the first time we kind of see them doing it, Biscuit is paying attention way too much to a girl doing a bikini, you know, sunbathing and everything, and runs over a dog, which was not Lenore's favorite scene in the world. And I knew that was going to bother you. What?
Poor dog.
I know. And apparently this was the second time, at least, that he's done that. I know we don't know how many times, but he does mention that, you know, was it a Jeremy says to him, like, again? You know? So there's been at least one other time that he's ran over a dog before. So, which, after a while, you would think that he would go to jail for that, maybe. Because, like,
I think the cops would have been there, yeah.
Well, cops were there. They just didn't see them, but they talked about how the cops came and checked it out because Biscuit says she wouldn't have called the cops if you didn't come and tell her that there was a brighter side to this dog being dead, you know, or whatever. Which, I mean, once again, it goes to like the Kevin Smith thing of like Clerks, where you kind of have a lot of talking, but you don't get to see as much stuff.
That was Debbie Dunning, by the way.
Oh, which one? Oh, Debbie Dunning. Do you know who she is, or?
She's an actress I've seen in a couple other things. There were a lot of people that I saw. I think she was in Leprechaun, and she's in Sabrina the Teenage Witch, and a couple other things. Boy Meets World.
That's oh wow, was she in Boy Meets World?
Alexandra.
She was in an episode of Boy Meets World. Awesome.
So I knew I recognized her.
Well, so I guess. To go even more, I mean, I'm not going to go into the whole plot, but basically the idea is that they come back, Jeremy comes back, and so does Jeremy's fiance or ex-fiance, played by the amazing Rashida Jones. I'm trying to remember her. Carrie. So,
right.
Carrie and Jeremy come back, and they basically have to figure out, you know, what they're going to do about this relationship. I mean, and they kind of separate, so you kind of see both sides of what's going on. And they both go to bars that night or whatever, the night that they come back. And he goes with his buddies, and she goes with her friend, Marty. And I loved Marty, played by Heather Dubrow.
Dubrow, yeah.
And she was wonderful. Well, she went under the name Heather Page Kent, was her original name, I guess. And she was just wonderful. She was, I thought she was probably one of the best actors on there, too, you know. I mean, it was wonderfully cast, you have to admit. Sure. Like, they had some great people in it.
I was quite surprised with all the different people in there that I recognized.
Yeah, and we'll go into that in a second after I just kind of mentioned that to end up the plot is, like, he has to figure out what happened, right? So that was, like, that's the whole mystery of the whole thing is what happened. He doesn't know. Everybody's telling him, like, how do you not know why and everything? And you find out later, and spoiler alert, so if you haven't seen Now You Know, probably should go out and watch it before you listen to this. But if you don't want to watch it and you just want to hear kind of what happens, basically, I guess she had said she wanted to call it off because she wasn't feeling like there was any passion in their relationship. And he looks over and says, is that what you want? You know? And she just knew right then and there that there just wasn't anything, like, he wasn't even caring anymore about the relationship, and that was why they broke up.
Of course, she was wrong.
You're right.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Do you want to go first?
Yeah.
Yeah, it honestly felt like she called it off and didn't really know why, which I'm pretty sure that's what happened. But at the end, she was trying to shift blame, because she never mentions a reason that she came up with. It's all reasons that other people were projecting onto her, like at the bar with that lesbian couple. And with her friend, Marty, the first thing she did was blame Jeremy for the relationship breaking off. So at the end, she's not listing any reason in their own relationships. She's listing reasons other people were telling her.
Right. I agree. And she's kind of whining about it. I mean,
yeah.
The whole, you don't bring me flowers anymore. Well, what? So we're not going to get married? I don't know. I just, the basic premise of it just seemed a little overblown. You know, they could have just sat down and talked like adults. I mean, supposedly they were together since high school.
Yeah.
So you would think they would have known each other by now, that they could have had this conversation, you know, and just sorted things out.
Yeah, that's the other thing that struck me, is they said they'd never had a fight before.
And none of their friends advised them to say, just sit your asses down and talk it out.
Right.
Talk it out, bitch. You know, nobody said that.
Very mature.
Nobody seemed very mature. And on top of that, I don't think anybody wanted them together. Like, honestly. Like, what is it? Even Biscuit and Gil were at one point, they were like, oh, because when they knew they knew they were getting together and they're at the bar or whatever. He was like, oh, Carrie's so sweet. Oh, we love her. And then after he says that they broke up, they go, well, fuck her, basically. We don't care. And that just shows, like, they never really cared about the relationship between the two.
It's funny that you mentioned Gil, because that, of course, is one of the names that What's-His-Face has in Mallrats.
Oh, Gil Hicks.
Gil,
yeah.
Hicks.
Ah, that's funny.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that was planned at all. I mean, that's
Gil's a pretty unusual name.
I know.
So I don't know, man.
I don't know. But it wasn't Randall who played him or
no.
whatever. It was Dante.
No.
Is he,
Dante.
I thought Gil was short for William. Is it not?
Really?
Is it?
No, I thought Will was short
Gil?
For William. Gil.
Yeah.
Gil, I don't think so. It's Gilliam, maybe.
Guillermo? I don't know.
Guillermo del Toro? I don't know.
Gil, if you're, you know, G-I-L-L, if you're one of those fish people that swims around.
Yeah. I don't know. Gilbert. It's probably Gilbert.
Gilbert.
That was probably what it is. Jeez, why did it take me, like, forever to think that?
Gilbert Grape.
You know, it was probably short for Gilbert. I don't see Randall
Gillespie?
As a Gilbert. And I don't know why he picked Gil. Like, I mean, it is, you're right. It might be because of Gil Hicks. Or it just might be just
homage?
Like they're just trying to, I don't think it was an homage because he wasn't even in Mallrats.
No.
Jeff Anderson
wasn't even supposed to be there.
He wasn't even in there, you know, he wasn't even supposed to be there. But yeah, we're doing all these jokes and Lenore has never even seen Clerks. So
one of those days
that would be an indie film cafe that you definitely give a low score to, you know? So anyway, there was, Or maybe it's a Film Freaks, I guess, technically.
Yeah, could I be. Think it's more of a Film Freaks.
Yeah. So, to kind of go into the characters, and we were kind of talking about that a good amount, so we kind of brought up the names of the characters, but I want to talk also about the side characters, supporting characters that kind of come in, like, that you knew. And so for one of them was Stuart Penkin.
Right, Stuart Penkin. Veteran of all kinds of different movies. The first thing I remember him from was a movie called Hollywood Nights, which was a low-grade B movie. I don't say rip-off, but
homage.
A remake. Not even a remake. A cheaper version of American Graffiti. And which was also Tony Danza and Fran Drescher was in there. And
so that's the low budget.
Low. And Stuart Penkin's always fun. He's a good actor, and he's been in a million other things too. You go on his IMDb page, and it's just enormous.
And he probably did this movie because he got asked. He got paid probably, but he got asked. To be in something that was kind of just fun and goop, you know? Like, his character, I liked his character. His character, he plays a guy who, it's a poor victim of Gil and
that's his name, too, Biscuit. Mr. Victim.
Mr. Victim. I don't think that's his real name, but that's what he's
and
credited.
The cast, yeah.
And he's credited as Mr. Victim. But so he basically comes out, and he's checking out, like, he's waking up in the morning. At night, he had heard them, and they broke into his house and basically rearranged the paintings in his house. So he was just like, and they did this. They had this plan. And it was it's a pretty decent plan, except it kind of backfires at the end. And
fires for sure.
Yeah, definitely fires. But the whole idea of, like, you know, basically trying to make people wanna. Like, scaring people into wanting to, to buy a security system.
Right.
You know, and everything. Problem is, like, I don't know how it was in 2001 in Jersey, you know, or whatever, when they filmed this. But, and nowadays, you couldn't do that because anybody could buy any kind of, you know, they wouldn't buy the specific one that's you know, done
by
the person in town, I don't think. They would buy, like, ADT or something. But back then, maybe it was a little bit, there was, like, less security systems around, you know? But I bet there was still ADT and other bigger names. And that guy had a huge house. Lenore was mentioning the hallways, right?
They were very narrow.
And they were long, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it was a long hallway. And so the guy went up, went to the bathroom, didn't flush.
No, he did not.
Which bothered Paul more than anything, I think, in the movie.
Gross.
I think it bothered him more than the dog. You know?
No, the dog bothered me, too.
Yeah. And we'll talk about that in a little bit, too. But yeah, so basically the whole movie is about or it has the scene with Mr. Victim going down, going to the bathroom, hearing something, right? So he goes and he hears and he looks around, but he doesn't see anybody. So he goes back to bed, wakes up the next day, and finds out that all his paintings are rearranged. So when he finds out his paintings are rearranged, what does he do? Nothing.
Right.
You know, the first night, he's just like, okay, this is weird. Second night that it happens, you know, the same thing kind of happens, except they bring Jeremy along this time, kind of just mess around. And then he tells his friend Murray, who's just like, I don't care about this,
doesn't,
you know,
believe him.
Like, or doesn't believe him. And he's like, why are you showing me that you rearranged your furniture? How is this going to work? And stuff like that. And
feng shui
and stuff like that, you know? And then he ends up, the third time they do it, they bring Gil, Biscuit, Jeremy, and Shane is visiting. So they're all bringing them all in, and so they ask Jeremy to lead the way and to do it, you know. And Jeremy ends up getting shot at by Mr. Victim and almost killed. Could have been cool. Killed, so.
And at this point, we should mention that Jeremy is being played by Jeremy's sister.
Yes, we never mentioned that, did we? Nope. So Carrie is Rashida Jones,
right?
Who's been in a lot of stuff. She was like in I Love You, Man.
Parks and Recreation.
Yeah. She's been in a lot of stuff. She's famous actress now, but back then I think she was just the I believe her father is the Jones that does a lot of pop hip hop artists and stuff, you know. And so I forgot his name because I'm not really good into hip hop at all, you know. Like, so but anyway, they end up having her and him. Then there's Gil, played by Jeff Anderson, who wrote and directed it, who played Randall in Clerks, and it's pretty much all he's ever done.
Clerks 2.
Yeah, all the Clerks movies, the Clerks cartoon, and the Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back. I'm wondering, I don't think he's in the new reboot one, because I think they literally just got him back, so they're going to be doing a Clerks 3. Maybe he's in reboot, I don't know. That would be interesting to find out, you know, because they're probably not going to say anything until you watch the movie. Then you're going to be like, oh,
right,
that's awesome. And then, let's see. Oh, and Biscuit is played by Trevor Furman. I think that's how you pronounce his name. And, Trevor, is most known now for being, Elias in, Clerks 2.
Movies.
Yeah, so... he was fantastic in this movie, and I can see why Kevin liked him in this enough to cast him in.
Right.
You know, there.
Jeremy Sisto, of course, was in 6 Feet Under. He was in a bunch of movies like The Thirst and May, and a few others. I think he was in Waitress too. So yeah, he's been in a whole bunch of stuff and a lot of indie independent films. He's a very well-known actor in the indies.
Yeah, and then there's the side supporting characters, too, that kind of pop up throughout it, other than Mr. Victim, was also, there was Eddie McClurg, who was in, God, she's been in a lot of stuff, too. She's very famous. I think she was also, I know she was in Ferris Bueller's Day Off as the principal's assistant, you mm-hmm. know, and then she was also in, like, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles with, like, the most famous line in that movie of, like, with her being, like, the ticket person to Steve Martin and everything. And so...
Right, so she's a pretty well-known character actress.
Yeah, car rental person. Yeah, she's the car rental person. So she's a very famous character actress. She's been in a lot of stuff, and it was just... wonderful seeing her in it. Last year we did Airborne, and she was in that movie, and she was wonderful. So she's been in a lot of stuff. And then we've also, the grandpa was
Earl Bowen,
and the grandma was Liz Sheridan, mm-hmm. who was in, was most Seinfeld. Notable for Seinfeld. She's also been in Alf and a ton of other movies. I mean, you see her in a lot of stuff.
Brewster was in there. Joel Brooks was in there.
Paget Brewster.
Right, Paget Brewster. Sorry.
She was wonderful. She was Leah, a alcoholic who apparently was at the bar. That scene, like, I don't know. It just didn't make any sense to me necessarily. I mean, for comedy, maybe, I guess, but like it was too. Unrealistic.
That was one of the jokes that fell flat for me, was her whole scene and character.
The rant aimed at Jeremy, that also felt wrong.
What?
That whole thing, that whole rant she had about Jeremy.
Oh, her like yelling at him about why don't you know you're an idiot, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, that felt wrong.
I just felt like she kind of came off really angry at him, even though she, like, it would have made sense if she were drunk at that time and she had, you know what I mean?
It would have been more funny.
Yeah.
Or if she had recently gotten out of a relationship.
Yeah, or something like that. Like, and that's why she was there. But she wasn't there for that. She was there because she was testing herself as an alcoholic. It just doesn't make any sense. I know these kind of things, and I know, like, I've seen that people don't do that. Like, people don't bring an alcoholic to a bar to test them. Right. You know, that just doesn't seem, that seems counterproductive for an alcoholic. I mean, of course, if they're, and leaves them, by the way, the girl that's helping her test, you know, herself or whatever, leaves her to go to the bathroom. So that puts Jeremy in a, I mean, kind of position to do that. And he's being sweet, you know, at first. He's kind of explaining to her why he doesn't know. And she goes off on him for no reason other than comedy, you know, like, aspect. But other than that, there's no reason for her to, like treat him like that, I don't think. Right, like, right. I felt like she was kind of, she was pretty, I don't know, rude. Yeah. And then she apologizes and says, why don't you buy me that drink? You know, right? And you find out that she's an alcoholic and everything. And then she, the other girl comes in and punches him in the face. I'm like, what is wrong with these people? Why are they, like, why are they doing this stuff to Jeremy? Like, you feel bad for Jeremy throughout the whole movie. You know, like, he does not deserve any of this. And because he's just, he seems like a nice guy. I mean, maybe just a guy that's just doesn't know what he's doing.
Yeah, he's a bit of a schlep, honestly.
Yeah, he just doesn't know what he's doing, but that's it, you know.
One thing I did want to point out before I forget is, in addition to Kevin Smith being in the film, his wife was actually in it as well. She was actually the bachelor party hooker.
Hooker.
Which I thought was kind of a fun thing there. So Jennifer Schwalbach Smith.
Mm-hmm.
So that was nice to see her.
Well, it was interesting because, you know, Kevin's character is talking about how the you know, how marriage is give and take or whatever and all this other stuff, and then he's like, I'm gonna put everything into this that I take out or whatever, you know, and he goes in with the hooker and he makes out with her. And obviously, they probably didn't want, like, Kevin probably wouldn't want anybody else making out. I mean, he later on, he had a, later on, and like a few years later, he had Brian O'Halloran making out with his wife, which a lot of people said, I mean, it's acting.
Right, and it's a friend, so
yeah,
it's different.
Yeah, it wouldn't be like, he wouldn't, you know, oh. Probably ask, I mean, what if he asked Ben Affleck to do that? I don't know if he'd want to do
probably
that.
Probably not. Probably not.
But, so anyway, I got to see this movie at Vulgarthon. I remember really liking it when I saw it, but it's one of those movies where I couldn't remember a lot of what happened, you know, right? I remember seeing it. I remember it being kind of cute, you know, and having... I remember the audience really reacting really well. And I remember the Q&A where apparently somebody had said that his mom should have played the hooker or something. And he was like, all right, that's it. And he left. And Kevin's like, what happened? And they explained what happened. He goes, kick his ass. I don't know. Like, it was weird. It was such a weird kind of environment to have a bunch of fanboys watching, you know, a movie done by that. But honestly, from the way that Jeff Anderson seems to be, Jeff Anderson wasn't really wanting to be a filmmaker, you know, or even an actor. You know, he just kind of, he stumbled it with it with Randall. He didn't even want to do Randall because he didn't want to screw that up.
Wasn't he supposed to be there?
Yeah. Well, that's Dante. Come on, man.
But it applies.
But it does apply, yes.
And I did want to mention, too, that he was actually in Zack and Miri Make a Porno.
Yes, he was. He did, and he played a different character.
Yes, he did. So, it's not... I mean, one of my criticisms of him is that he always seems to be playing Randall. He had definitely had a very Randall-like character in this film, but he doesn't always.
Yeah, and Zack and Miri actually didn't have a Randall-type character, so...
Right.
Good. Good for him. I would like to see more movies from Jeff. I'm really hoping that, but the problem I have, like, the thing I see with Jeff is that Jeff is very kind of insecure about him as an actor, you know? Like, he feels, you know, like he gets worried, you know what I mean, about everything.
Sure.
And that's all actors. I'm sorry. Like, you know, you just gotta, if you're really good, if you're talented, keep it up, man. And And if there's one thing I can definitely say about this movie, I can definitely say all the acting was top-notch. Like, there was no bad acting in this movie, I didn't think. What'd you think?
Oh, yeah, the acting was amazing.
Right,
yeah.
Acting was good. No problems there.
Yeah.
I think that might have detracted from the film a little, because everybody felt like a real person. You forgot you were watching a movie.
You were, like, watching reality right there? Which, I think, would that, like, put you off a little bit on the movie?
Yeah, I think a little. It's, you forget it's a movie while you're watching it.
Yeah, and to me, it's not so much that it annoys me that it's, you forget that it's a movie. It just makes it a little bit more boring. It just needed more something, more conflict or something. It just seemed like the entire issue could have just been solved quite easily without all the extra stuff.
There was no conflict in this movie.
You know, not much.
Well, I don't think there was any. It wasn't a conflict at all. It was just they weren't talking.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the conflict is, like, the mystery of why, you know, why she dumped him. But then when you find it out, it's kind of like, I don't know. You were expecting something big, you know. Like, he did something really stupid or whatever. When, in reality, it felt more realistic, you know. It felt more like a breakup that would normally happen because two people just fall out of love with each other. Except the problem is, like,
that's
Jeremy
not what
didn't.
Happened here. Right.
Jeremy didn't fall out of love. He just did. He was just kind of stupid.
It was a miscommunication.
There was a line, I think, that kind of summed it up where she was like, "So I guess that just means that you're just stupid or something like that." Right. Like, she says something to him about that. And it really does kind of sum up his character. He just doesn't, know, you know? Like, that's it. He doesn't get it. He doesn't get why she's mad at him. She doesn't.
No.
And at the end, they kind of work it out. I mean, I guess.
Sort of, because their friends turn out to be together.
But even then like, that almost felt like it was too quick, right? A little bit.
Yeah.
Like, with them holding hands at the end, just because the two friends are together, like, I don't know.
Yeah, but the whole reason for them falling out of love is probably realistic, but the conversation around it felt hollow, because, again, it felt like she was just trying to avoid responsibility for her part in it.
Right.
Yeah, and just the overall, the characters themselves, you know, I wasn't that interested what happened to know, you know, I mean, it's just, I don't know, I just... Especially because, you know, we start off with Jeremy, and he seems to be surrounded by a bunch of jerks and people that I really could not stand in Vegas. And then he comes over, and then he's meeting up with a couple more people that are kind of jerks. And then her friend Marty's kind of a jerk.
Right.
It's just
yeah.
a lot of jerks around here. I'm like, I don't really like
Marty
any of these people.
And Carrie's little brother. That's just messed up.
Oh, yeah, yeah. She's fucking around with Cliff, the little, like, 13-year-old boy. Who apparently they have to, like, raise the mattress and put her underwear under a mattress.
Because the 13, that's what you do when you have a 13-year-old boy in the house?
I
don't think so.
I'm sorry, but when I was 13 years old, if my sister were living with me, which I don't think she, I had two sisters, but if either of them were living with me, I don't think I would have been going through their fucking, you know, underwear. Like,
that's
just
pretty gross.
That's gross, man. Like, you have to be, like, a really messed up kid to do that. Maybe that's what Cliff is, but, like, not all 13-year-old boys.
Makes sense that he'd be messed up, considering Marty.
Oh, yeah, but Marty just fucks with that kid
so bad.
Puts
his hand right on her breast.
I know, she says she needs to check, he needs to check the, you know, for lumps or whatever.
And it's just one of the number of things that just would not fly today, which is why we talked about it being dated.
It's definitely a very dated movie. Funny thing being, it's a Weinstein movie.
There you go.
Which I honestly don't think
Marty Weinstein.
I don't think Harvey and Bob probably even watched this movie before they put it out or whatever. Because I don't see them, like, they got bored with Clerks, you know, in the beginning, you know, or whatever. From what I've understood, like, they had to, like, be told to keep going, you know, and things like that. I think this movie would have been a little bit too slow for them. But maybe they did like it. I don't know. I might be wrong.
I doubt it. I doubt they would have been interested. I doubt they saw it.
Yeah, they just, they were like, Kevin.
They were doing it as a favor for Kevin.
Which is great. Kevin did that for a bunch of his movies. And
that's what I really like about the whole thing, is that Kevin went out of his way to help out his buddy. Mm-hmm. I think that's great.
And, I mean, does this mean, like, the movie is not a good movie or something, or is not something that should have been made or whatever? No. Like,
it's a good movie. It's a just
good movie. It's just kind of, like, boring a little bit. It has, like, slow moments. Like, I said, the one thing I did not like is the Vegas beginning, because it went on for way too long. If they had cut that Vegas stuff a little bit and went a little bit more into, like, the B&E stuff, and if they made a whole movie on the B&E thing, I think that would have been more fun. You know, like, you know what I mean? Like, guys that do that more, you know what I mean? Like, I think that they kind of missed a opportunity there, you know, in my opinion. Because I think that was fun stuff.
The movie, I guess, it felt more like a book. Like those books you read in high school. I felt like that.
Right.
I wouldn't have read a book like that in high school.
I don't know. Like, what kind of book are you talking about?
I mean, it feels a bit like Great Expectations to me.
What?
See, like
at the end, where there's not really much conclusion about the relationship.
Oh.
I was thinking more along the lines of Gunga Din, remember?
Yeah.
With the you know, you have the three troublemakers who are trying to get their third troublemaking friend out of a marriage that they don't want to have happen because they don't want to break up the guys.
They didn't do that, though, necessarily. But this would be probably the only time in history, so you got to hear, that Now You Know is compared to Gunga Din.
There you go. Now you know.
Now you know. Gunga Din... I don't think that they were trying to get him out of the relationship. They just were happy that he was out of it. You know what I mean? Because there was that moment in the movie where, you know, in the bar where they were explaining how much they loved Carrie, and then all of a sudden they hated her when they said it, which makes me wonder, like, which one is it really? Because, you know, are they just, I think they were just saying they loved her because they wanted their friend happy and everything. They were going to go to a wedding. You know what I mean?
They're trying to be supportive.
Yeah, which is funny that I think one of my favorite bits... My favorite character in the whole movie is Biscuit. He really did kind of have this kind of... Even though he did kill the dog, and I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And he didn't seem to have any remorse over that either. You know? Like, I would be crying if something like that happened. Even if I did that to another dog, I would be crying. But he didn't seem like he just seemed mad that he was out of a job there. You know?
Yeah, he kind of come off as a little bit I don't want to say like psychopathic, but you know, without feeling.
Yeah, he was unremorseful about anything really. Mm-hmm. Like he would just say whatever came to his head.
Right.
I think it was a little bit. He was a little slow.
He's a two-dimensional character. He's there for comic reasons only.
Right.
You know, I mean, otherwise, why the hell would you put up with somebody like that?
Yeah, and he has a lot of dialogue about, like, he was saying that he thought about, you know, the gay way or whatever, like, going guys should be going gay, which, I mean, whatever, you know, it just didn't make any sense that he would say that and not actually, but then again, when he has the transvestite kind of come in later, which we meet this transvestite for their second bachelor party and everything, he kind of likes her or him or whatever. So maybe there's just something there with his character that's just never, you never really talk about.
Well,
you know?
Just the way they sort of try to gay shame him, you know, again, it's not something that really can be done today. It's, you know, 2001, maybe, Chasing Amy, we talked about that sort of a thing. But yeah, today you just, you know, you just wouldn't do that now. At least I hope you wouldn't do that.
But just throughout the movie, a lot of scenes, I was just wondering what the point of it was. Like, the scene with the dog. All of the scenes with those two lawn guys, actually, outside of that weird breaking into people's houses stuff.
I mean, are you saying you don't know why they were there?
They're the comedy portions.
Yeah, they're the
of
comedy
the
thing, yeah. They're, because everything else is drama, if you notice. Like, the Carrie and... the Carrie and the Jeremy stuff is all drama issues, you know, like they're there basically to kind of give the comic relief
and to sort of break up the monotony. I hate to say it, because if it was just nothing more than the characters walking around talking about this non-problem, I would have fallen asleep a long time ago.
Yeah. But, you know, there's a lot of, there is stuff to do. Now, we talked about it, like, during the movie or after the movie or whatever, Paul and I were discussing about the fact that there was, it does feel a little very much like a Kevin Smith style of thing, mm-hmm. where, especially where, you know, there could have been scenes where you could have seen more stuff. They could have put blood on the, fake blood on the, they could have had flashbacks of them talking to the lady or whatever to have cops come. And I understand it's a money issue at times, but, like, it kind of, in a way, makes me wonder if, like, if they did that to make it feel more like Clerks and Kevin Smith stuff. You know, because a lot of people are going to watch this because it's Randall, like, directing the movie.
Sure.
I'm sure that intrigued you as...
Sure.
When I told you, oh, Jeff Anderson directed this movie, wrote and directed this
movie. It's just, you know, surprising to me that, you know, Jeff Anderson gets this opportunity to make a movie. He's got a backer and he's got, you know, Kevin Smith helping him out, and he's going to have the Weinsteins put it out and all this. And what he makes is just, a comedy romance, very similar to the movies he's already been in with Kevin Smith.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
He's not even the lead in it.
You know, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, that I can understand. But, you know, I would have thought he would have taken this opportunity to have done something completely different. You know what I mean? Just to sort of maybe establish himself as being different from that whole universe. But, you know, I don't know. It's just, I don't know. It seems kind of weird.
Yeah. Well, we did see, like, an introduction where he was explaining how, you know, all this stuff happens, and he talked about how he wasn't nervous, you know, coming up and everything, and it kind of made sense. I feel like, in a way, that Jeff Anderson is Jeremy, you know? Jeremy could be Jeremy, you know? Because Jeremy Sisto seemed so freaking, like, at ease with playing that, playing Jeremy, mm-hmm. but... I feel like Jeff is a little bit of Jeremy, like, because I feel like Gil is Randall, you know, is the character that he always gets to play. But I feel like Jeremy is the character that,
and
you know.
I think part of that comes too because I think actually Jeff Anderson is a pretty good actor. Mm-hmm. You know, his range may be somewhat more limited than a lot of other actors are, but then he's a guy that never came out as a professional actor, never came up as one. Not that I know of, or took acting lessons, or did any other stuff. But for what you see him, even in a movie like this, he's generally pretty good.
Mm.
And as far as being a director goes, I thought that the film was directed pretty surely. It was not bad. You know, maybe a little pedestrian here and there, but I thought he did a pretty good job. The pace lags in a lot of places, but most of the shots are really good. You know, I wasn't noticing really too many mistakes. There were a couple little continuity issues here.
There
and
was
there.
Till the continuity
yeah,
issue.
There were a couple of things with the drinks where there's a scene where they're in the bar and
the gay bar.
The cut goes to the one character and she's drinking a drink and it's almost gone, and then it cuts to somebody else and it cuts right back to her and now the glass is almost full, and you know, just little goofy stuff like that.
You know, but that also was it. We were all pointing out that I guess she shouldn't be drinking at a
alcohol
bar
when she's
pregnant.
Pregnant, right?
So
yeah.
I mean, which makes me wonder if she was drinking, because when I did say something, I said, you know, it could be a Shirley Temple, and I didn't see what the glass looked like. It did look like it could have been a Shirley Temple. However, that was never discussed or anything. And just made her character even look worse than
right.
she already was.
Yeah.
And she was already looking worse, you know, and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, I mean, she was basically molesting that one kid.
Yeah.
But, I mean, as far as the way the film was shot, I thought it wasn't bad. The only other thing that I noticed that might have annoyed me a little bit is sometimes the music was a little overbearing.
Yeah, we talked about that,
too. Scenes
too.
Where it just kind of drowned out some of the dialogue. But I thought it was all right. I think if the movie has a weakness, I think it was probably in the writing. I just don't know that it was written particularly well.
I will kind of agree with you. I feel like the comedy wasn't like ha 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 funny. I think, honestly, if he had made a drama, you know, that was not about this, because this needed to be a comedy or whatever, because otherwise it would be boring, you know, boring, like put us to sleep boring. But I think, like, because the thing that works well with this is with the mystery is the fact that it's got comedy throughout it. But I think he's really good at writing drama, you know, like he's good at writing characters who are dealing with something, arguing with whatever, you know, and things like that. And I think he was really good at directing that too. Like, I don't know if how he did it or not, but he got some great like scenes out of both Rashida Jones and Jeremy Sisto together. I mean,
they're really, really good actors. Yeah. I mean, let's face it. I mean, and that's the other blessing that this film has, is that it has a great cast. Everybody does a very, very good job. And it just goes to show you how you can have material that maybe not be your A material. And even if you're with a, you know, inexperienced director, but if you have really good actors, they can really, really help a movie out. You know what I mean? And it's just the opposite, too. You can have a really great script and a really great director, but if you don't have good actors, it's going to look terrible.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
So, like I said before, I had found this movie when I watched it at Volverthon. I was excited because, you know, it was a chance to see Jeff Anderson do something at this. And, I mean, I honestly thought, like, when I first saw it, that this was a great movie. But like I said, I didn't remember much until I rewatched it. I was like, oh yeah, I remember this stuff. And I think I bought this online through like Amazon or whatever. So you guys can buy it. I would suggest, if you are a Kevin Smith fan, you probably hopefully have already owned it, because it is if you're a Kevin Smith like fanatic, you want to own everything that he's directed, or produced.
Is it out of print, or can you still get it?
I think you can still get it on Amazon for like $10.
Because, I mean, it was a Weinstein production. Is it still a Weinstein that you're getting it from?
I mean, I'm guessing you would get it through
the distributor is.
And the Amazon puts it out, so I'm guessing they have a number of copies.
I'm surprised it doesn't like come out in a Blu-ray through View Askew or something, you know?
Maybe they will, because I know, like, at one point they were going to talk about, because Dogma was owned by Kevin, and I know right before the stuff that happened, they were going to be in talks of putting Dogma back out on DVD. Mm-hmm. Now, I have a DVD of Dogma, but it doesn't have, like, everything and stuff like that, and it could have been cool to...
The other interesting thing that's sort of taking place in the background of this is the fact that, you know, obviously Kevin Smith keeps wanting to do more stuff with his Clerks characters, and Jeff Anderson hasn't really been wanting to do that. He hasn't really been wanting to play Randall anymore, even if he has Randall-like characters and some other stuff. But, I mean, I guess he finally got him for Clerks 3,
which is
nice. It's great. You know, sorry, Jeff Anderson, you play a great Randall. We all love that, so we're dying to see that.
I think there's also the thing of the internet, right? See, I met Jeff Anderson back in at Volverthon, actually, too. I'll tell my Jeff Anderson story real quick. So I met him at Volverthon, and I wanted to get a picture with him, right? So my buddy Robbie was going to take the picture, and I said, can you pose? Because he was doing, like, the, you know, put the arm over the shoulder, kind of boring poses with everybody. And I was like, can you pose? He goes, can I pose? And he puts his, like, leg on me and everything, like, one leg over me and everything. And I was like... And we took the picture, and then he goes, I'm going to see that on the internet later on. And I was like, yes, you are. And that was like, I guess that was right before MySpace and stuff like that days and everything. So
Got that picture?
It's somewhere. Like, it's in my digital stuff. I'm sure I can find it. But yeah, it was wonderful that he was such a good guy, and he seemed like a guy who just, a lot of fans don't understand, like, a lot of the stuff that happened, you know, and everything. And they kind of treat him like, you know, whatever, right? Like,
oh, yeah, they've kind of vilified him with regards to him not wanting to play the same character over and over and over in all these Clerks movies.
Right, which, I mean, hey, look, that's his prerogative,
right?
You know?
Right.
It's his choice. If he doesn't want to do it, that's not, you know, why are we to say whatever. And we want it because we want another Clerks movie. Just we want one more to like kind of make a trilogy to finish off the story, so it could be like the beginning, closure, the middle, the end. Yeah, and kind of get that. But I mean, if it never happened, you know, would the world be, you know, or would the world collapse because they never made a Clerks 3? No. But it would be nice.
Right.
And everybody's excited and they can't wait to see Jeff. And Jeff seems like such like an amazing guy. And I'm glad that he's back. And I'm hoping people would just kind of leave the dude alone. Like let him, you know, come back and maybe he'll make another movie.
That would be cool.
Don't do Now You Know 2, please. We're done. We know. Now we know. But we don't need a 2. But we do need, because this was his first movie. It would be nice to see a sophomore effort and see what he does next.
Yeah, I'd like to see more.
You know, I would like to see him do like an, you know what? I would love to see him do a horror movie.
That'd be great.
That would be fantastic. Like, I don't know if he's into that or not. So you may not want to do that. But I could see him doing that.
Yeah, I'd like to see him go in a very different direction, see what else he can do.
Yeah, I know, was it? So Kevin produced this movie. I guess not, but he put it out. He, like, let it put out. I think he didn't give funding to this one necessarily, I don't think. But he did that. He did a movie called A Better Place that he produced. By Vincent Pereira, who's another one of the Clerks guys. He did, was a Vulgar, you know, done by Brian Johnson. Did a movie called produced a movie called Drawing Flies. And is there anything else that he did at that particular time? Big Helium Dog. There's another movie called Big Helium Dog. And he produced all four of those movies back to back. And then this was the fifth one. This was like kind of the one that he helped, you know, get out and do stuff, and he, you know, he acted in, because he does a lot of cameos if he can, you know.
Sure.
And so it was nice to see a, you know, a production that honestly was just fun, you know. So I'm going to get everybody's little final thoughts or whatever before we go into the ratings. So let's start with Lenore. So you just saw this movie. You just finished it. What are your, like, final thoughts on it? Like, and did you hate it? Did you not like it? Or did you like it?
It was well shot and well made and well put together, but I didn't like the characters a whole lot, even though they were well acted.
Okay. Fair enough. What about you, Paul?
I would echo that. I think it was a good try. I think Jeff Anderson has some talent. I think he just needs to find a bigger vehicle to display them, whether it's in writing, directing, or acting. I think he can definitely do a lot more. For this particular film, I just found I wasn't that interested. It just was kind of boring. Although, I have to say, I was pretty happy to see there was some good acting in there, and everybody did a very, very good job. And I'm glad to see that there were very few issues that usually we have on this kind of a film. Usually we have all kinds of issues with lighting and directing and just bad dialogue and all that. There's really nothing like that. There's no major missteps, you know, anything like that. It was a pretty clean movie.
Would you watch it again?
Yeah, I'd probably see it again.
What about you? Would you ever watch it again?
Maybe not.
Okay.
I mean, the dog scene alone.
Yeah,
we weren't happy. Yeah, it's one of the unwritten rules in Hollywood is you don't kill the dog.
You don't kill the dog. I was going to bring that up before and I forgot. But yeah, you don't. There's a scene, that scene I think I mentioned before about the dog getting killed. And it just was sad.
It takes the helium out of a comedy, no less.
Yes. Even though it was supposed to be done for comedic effect, I don't think they pulled it off of that. I think it was not funny at all. It was tragic.
Right, you could almost kill the dog. You know what I mean? You could almost do it and get in trouble, but to actually kill it, and then talk about the blood being all over the grass.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, what you have to do is you have to get it where you think they killed the dog, and then the dog was saved somehow or whatever. Like, you know,
goes down a hole in the ground or something like that.
Yeah, something like yeah. And that bothered me with just seeing the dog kind of walking, like running around the whole time, knowing that it's coming after him, you know, in a way.
Yeah, they stretched out that scene way too long.
I know, they did. And it wasn't, like, I think that's the problem, you said before, pacing. I think that was the problem with the movie a lot, was there's a couple pacing issues that could have been fixed.
Tightened up.
I mean, honestly, it could have been an hour and 20-minute movie, and it would have been fine.
Wait, how long was this movie?
It was like an hour and 37 minutes. 37.
There you go.
I think something like that. It was close to that. And it was, you know... So, honestly, well, I've seen this movie 3 times now. This is my 3rd time. I saw it again when I bought it, and I'd seen it in the theater. And honestly, the 3rd time, I'm still just like, you know, meh. Like, it's not... Like, the first time, I enjoyed it because I was there with everybody, and I think I feel like there was this, like, laughter and enjoyment of just watching this movie and just being there. And actually, I remember Robbie and I saying that this was our favorite movie of the whole thing. Actually, no, he said that. Big Helium Dog was my favorite at the time. I did like this movie, but I think if I showed Robbie this movie again now, I think he would change his mind a little bit, because it's one of those things where I think you felt the air, you felt it. It was different. It was more, you know, like whatever. Right. So.
And I know you wanted to bring in something that wasn't quite such a disaster or quite, you know, full of monsters and creatures and silly, bizarre stuff.
But this is a fun time to, a great time to introduce our new character who is going to be joining me in L.A. So I got this monkey. No, don't you squeak yours. I want to squeak mine. So I have a monkey that squeaks. Sounds a little different than yours. You know, like do yours. Yeah. So I got mine. I squeak him on his eyeballs. And he is our TNA monkey, which there was some TNA in this
He's
movie.
He's your TNA monkey.
Whatever. IFC's TNA monkey. All
right.
You know, he's not the mascot. Okay. He's Kanu monkey can still be the mascot
because
he was there first, but he's our new guy. He's friends with, you know,
Oh, sure.
They're friends.
That's our 3rd monkey.
Oh yeah. We got Space Monkey too for all the science stuff.
Yep.
Space Monkey doesn't squeak.
No.
Sadly.
He's NASA's.
Yeah. NASA doesn't want people to squeak.
There's no squeaking in NASA.
I know.
Well, actually, this is from the Smithsonian, but he's wearing a space jumpsuit.
Right.
Yeah.
Astronaut jumpsuit.
So anyway, so yeah, so we have 3 monkeys now, but mine's a little bit more thinner and I don't know.
Kind of like a weasel.
You got to stuff your monkey with something.
I guess. I don't know. I think the monkey, because it used to be a dog's toy, I think.
Stuff your monkey.
Yeah, stuff my monkey.
Oh, wait. Oh, he wasn't new?
No, he's not new. I had him for a while. Like, I found him when we were cleaning out my closet for my trip to go and everything.
This is our budget here at Indie Film Cafe, folks. We have to use used dog toys.
Dog toys.
Send us a couple of bucks through Patreon, please.
We can get better monkeys.
Okay.
Anyway, all right. So we're going to go down. We're going to wrap her up. So, like a taco. So... I guess, Paul, explain. Like a burrito? I guess burrito is more wrapping up. Go ahead, explain the system we got.
Oh, yeah. So as far as the stinkometer goes, we have a system which scores 1 to 10. And you can award points in such a way that 1 means that there's not a lot of stink going on here, and 10 is... really, really bad and stinky, and you just can't stand it anymore. And 5 is kind of in the middle, and if you want to be subtle, you can award a half a point if that sort of tickles your pickle. So, on that note, I guess we can give our scores to the film. Who's going to go first?
Well, it's my movie, so I'm not going to go first. I guess Lenore can go first.
I'd probably give it a 3.
3? Okay.
Yeah, it's not a bad movie. It's watchable, and it's well written and well made. I just don't like the characters.
Mm.
Okay.
That was a pretty good one. What about you, Paul?
I was actually going with a 5.5.
5.5.
Yeah.
Interesting, because I thought about that. because I thought about five, mm-hmm. right? And then I was like, the five makes it sound like it's just mediocre, you know, or something. And I think this movie is a little better than mediocre, you know, right? Like, it wasn't snoozeworthy. You didn't fall asleep like you did in Ankle Biters.
No.
You know?
I did yawn, but I didn't fall asleep.
And, you know, yeah, you did yawn. And there was times that I was wondering if you were going to. But you didn't.
Nope.
Because it had enough stuff to interest you and to keep you going, okay, well, this isn't a bad movie, you
right,
know?
Right.
So I thought about it, and I said, I'm going to have to go with the four. So that's okay. Funny that we got 3, 4, and 5.5.
Right.
But I had to go lower than 5 because I just felt like 5 means that it's a, you know, sort of a mediocre, kind of boring, kind of, you know, I don't know. I don't know even
no,
know
how that's
many
not, that's
had
not
five.
Really how it works for the meter, but that's okay.
That's yeah. how I view it.
I mean, usually if it's a boring movie, it's going to get up there with a 10 because that would just be awful.
No. No, because I think 10 would be too much, because a boring movie just is just like not good.
I would give a very boring film a 10.
Really?
Oh yeah. I haven't been showing you too many boring movies other than Axiom Maximus.
Oh God.
Mainly because they're horrible to sit through. They're just awful. I can start if you want. No, I got plenty of tens out there that are boring as hell.
Yeah, we got a couple more episodes left. Let's try. Let's try. I mean,
we'll show you Jack Nicholson's The Terror. You can see if you can snooze your way through that.
Oh, is that the Roger Corman movie?
Yes.
Oh my goodness.
So boring.
Oh, it's The Terror. The Terror. Terror of watching
that's
the movie.
That's a 10 right there.
Mm. How about the movie The 10?
But
ten,
I try to get bad, you know, movies that are, you know, entertaining at the very least, one way or another.
Yeah. But honestly, all in all, I thought it was it was better than that. I mean, it wasn't snoozeworthy, but it wasn't.
But it wasn't on the level of, say, Gamebox 1.0 or Hey, Stop Stabbing Me either.
That's true. Or even what did I give Airborne? Like, I don't even remember what I gave Airborne. But it's
up on the wall.
I know,
baby,
but
right
I can't
there.
Read. I can't read that far.
I see sixes all the way across the board, so you gave it a 6.
I gave it a 6. So I think it's a little better than Airborne. I really do. So, you know, it's a pretty good entertaining
I'd say
movie.
It's a little better than Airborne, yeah. 5.5 sounds good to me.
Yeah, so there you go. And you gave it a 3. That was nice, because I think, you know, I think you liked it because it was just more well-made than what you're used to seeing here.
It's better put together.
Yeah. Yeah, it seemed like it actually had a budget and it had, you know.
And that's an aberration as far as I'm concerned, because once you get back to me, you aren't going to see any more of that. No more of that shenanigans.
I know, like, I feel like, I think I had to do this. Because I had another movie in mind, and I'm not going to mention it because eventually it's going to be part of Indie Film Cafe at some point. But I had another movie in mind, would have been completely different than this movie. Would have been a horror. Would have been, and I think I decided. So I was wrong. I said that we didn't do comedies before. I don't think we have done comedies. We did Airborne was a comedy. We did Hey, Stop Stabbing Me was more of a comedy than a horror.
Dark comedy, yeah.
You know, so this is a straight up. It's kind of a dark comedy. It's got a little bit of darkness to it. A little bit, you know.
This one?
A little bit. You know, I don't know. Not as dark as a lot of the other stuff that we watch, but I don't know. It honestly, it was, you know.
It's a change of pace.
It's a change of pace. Like that's exactly what I was trying to say. So it is a different movie to try to kind of bring us out of doing the same thing every time. So if you want to see something different. Because believe me, the next episode we've already done this next episode, and I can't talk about it, but I can't tell what it is. But I will tell you guys that it is. You want to know crazy and everything? That the next movie is nuts, and of course Paul picked it, and tortured all of us.
It's
and,
so much fun.
So, yeah.
And we may have a special guest popping on by for that one.
Yep, we had a special guest for that one, so just tune in. It'll be the last, I think it's the last Monday in October that we're releasing that. So that'll be perfect. It's perfect for Halloween time.
Yay.
And that was another reason. I mean, I could have done another horror movie because it is still October, you know, and everything. But
and we still got the one more catch-up one to do with Miss Lenore. Got to do Killer Tongue.
Killer Tongue, so. You know, which she doesn't look like she's excited to watch, but, you know.
It's like a very generic sounding title.
Yeah.
Don't you worry about that.
It's not generic.
That's the last thing it is.
Yeah. But, okay, so I guess to just kind of wrap this up, we enjoyed this, you know, we sort of enjoyed the movie. It was fun. Like, it was, it didn't bore us to sleeping, you know, and everything. And it was well made and well put together. But don't kill dogs in movies.
No.
No. That's a no-no.
Or cows.
Let's see. I guess what we can talk about real quick is... We've got a lot of stuff coming up that's happening. I want to give us our plugs for the different projects that we're doing. Probably should do that in the beginning at some point. Like in the beginning of the podcast, kind of talk about those things. Yeah, or the middle, but not in the end because who knows. But anyway, we've got plenty of stuff that just wrapped this year so far. Criterion Watch just wrapped. Which we did, was it Watership Down was the last one. And then, and we're still going to try to do some videos. I'm doing more videos. Paul is so busy these upcoming months that getting him to do more videos and things is just kind of hard right now. But maybe next year he'll be doing a lot more stuff, hopefully, because he won't have me bothering him the whole time. So... and then, I am, actually in 4 days, but not 4 days after this thing, I'll be already back I'll be coming back when I put this out. It's going to be out on the day that I come back from LA.
Are you going to vlog while you're out there?
I'm going to try. I really am. It's just, I'm really bad at that. Like, I'm not a vlogger, you know, and I never like what I say and stuff. Like, I was trying to do some vlogging earlier today. And I watched it. I was like, I don't like this, you know, and stuff like that. So I don't know how I'm gonna do or whatever, but I'm gonna try.
Just think of it as taking us along.
I'm gonna try. I like forget what I'm gonna say, and then I it's just like these podcasts. Like I forget what I'm gonna say, and then I like start just you know. But I guess it doesn't really matter. It's all about showcasing things. But there are some cool things I want to do, like. So I'm going to say it on the record right here, so hopefully you'll see it, because hopefully I'll start putting stuff out the week that, you know, while I'm out there. But one of the things I want to do is on Saturday, I want to go to a place called Tam O'Shanter. I think I told you about this. But it's a Scottish pub, you know, which I think you'd like anyway.
Oh,
but
yeah.
It's the place where Walt Disney used to eat. And he used to do all his drawings on there. So they actually put all his drawings on the tables, you know, sketched them on tables and stuff. So you can see some of the drawings that he actually did there redone onto the table. I think that's pretty neat. So I was thinking, oh, that's a nice place to go and visit. And a friend of mine and her boyfriend are going to meet up and we're going to go there. So that would be cool. So, yeah, I'm going to try to vlog and do things. And I'm looking for apartments and... in trying to get connected there and meet people so that they can help me. So we'll see about that. Then, also we wrapped up or we're wrapping up this month, actually on Friday, which will be at the Friday before this, Film Freaks will be wrapped up. And I guess we can mention what it is because it's already, you know, over. It's Gunga Din,
right.
Which we talked about in the thing. That it was it was Gunga Din, and we really enjoyed that movie. I know Lenora did too, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Had an elephant.
It had an elephant.
Yeah.
The cutest elephant in the world. I want an elephant.
Hell
know?
Yeah.
So we did that. What else did we got? We're doing some other stuff. We're doing Indie Film Cafe Spotlight, where we're going to be interviewing people, but we've decided to do it on our YouTube channel because we're not having enough content on the YouTube channel right now. We're doing a lot more stuff on the podcast. So we want to do some more stuff on there. So,
although I do have another episode of Forgotten Horror Classics coming out, and I'm also going to be doing a video version of that too. So we'll have the podcast version and we'll have the video version.
Is it going to be a different one, or is it going to be the same thing? Like, are you going to do two different Forgotten Horror Classics?
Oh, it'll be the same thing, yeah.
Okay. I was going to say, I mean, it would be kind of cool if you did do something.
And I would if I had that kind of time, but I don't.
I know, you're really busy with work and other stuff, so if you could, maybe down the line, we'll see.
Maybe down the line. We'd like to be able to do some special content to our Patreon folks that only they get a chance to see, but, you know, we'll see.
Actually, yeah, bonus content would be great. Another thing that I wanted to do, and actually you can do that, where you can actually put out the stuff before the people see it and everything, and then release it after on its time, but you can do it before. But all right, we can figure that stuff out. The other thing I wanted to mention, I know this is going way too long, the other thing I wanted to mention was Fresh Flick Friday, which is this new show I'm doing where I'm reviewing newer movies and everything. Originally, I was going to do it as a podcast. I actually recorded it, you know, as a podcast, and then realized I didn't like it as a podcast. I think it's going to end up being a YouTube thing for Indie Film Cafe. So that's also another new thing that I'm bringing to it. And Paul had talked about, I mean, it's not scheduled or anything like that, but Paul may do some video reviews himself as well of older flicks. So and I'll do newer ones and he'll do older ones.
Don't forget, we'll have a new Miss Davila coming out soon too.
Yes, and it was in November. We have a new Davila, which I think is Sinister Urge. So that episode.
Nice, which we just did on Indie Film Cafe.
Yeah, so there you go. So if you want to watch that and then listen to our podcast while watching the movie itself, so there's a commentary.
I think Davila probably follows us and listens to our podcast because she's definitely interested in a lot of our movies.
Yes, she is. Wow, she's been following
us. She's a fan.
She's a actually, wait a minute, she's not the one who picks them, though.
Well, you never know. We'll have to see. Maybe she'll be wearing an Indie Film Cafe t-shirt at some point.
You know, we can only hope, right?
We can only hope.
So we got Davila, and then we've got, we got My Girl from the Serial Killer, that we are funding right now. We are like 30 days in, so by this time, it'll be about like 23 days or something, you know? So please check out the link at the bottom, where we'll be posting the Indiegogo link. Also, we got a Patreon, as we mentioned. I'm doing a show called The Mainstream. Like, not that I don't have enough shows and other things going on. Decided to do another show. I'm sure Paul will be in one more episode before I leave. You know, he's not as into the mainstream stuff as I am. But some mainstream stuff, like we could talk about Buffy.
Oh yeah.
You know, stuff like that. So.
And while I got a second, I do want to do a quick shout out to my friend Gary Morgan, our mutual friend. He's got a new podcast out on Podbean called The Bizarre Aficionado, and he likes kind of going over, just in the way that we like talking about weird films, he likes talking about weird stuff that happens all over the world and all over the place, and thinks there's also some talk about weird movies too. So good shout out to him. Go check it out. It's a fun podcast.
Yes, he just put that out, literally. So, and it's on Apple Podcasts. It's everywhere.
And when he comes back, we'll probably torment him with a couple more stinky movies, too.
Yeah, unfortunately, he hasn't been able... We haven't been able to get him on anything. Other than... Do we have him on a podcast? I think we had him on a...
Think so. Yeah, we had him on something. I forget what.
Yeah, we had him on something.
A couple videos.
But yeah, we... Oh, man, poor guy. We need to get him... You need to get him on stuff, and he wants to. I think he also wants to chat with us sometime.
Right, right. I think we're going to be on his show at some point.
Yeah, so that would be great. You know, yeah. So we got. There's so much going on. I'm so excited. I hate saying it. I'm excited that we're splitting, but I think it's literally going to be the best thing
for
Indie Film
Cafe.
Cover
a lot of ground.
I know. So I can do all the people in LA. You can do all the people in Virginia, and I mean, we got a lot of people who want to. Want to come out and be a part of this at least one episode or something. So let's get them, you know, let's get them on board and everything. So if you want to do that, come on out. So indiefilmcafe.reviews.
Reviews.
SickFlickProductions.com, which just got updated. And Patreon, patreon.com/indiefilmcafe. And I don't know the Indiegogo link name for Micro from Serial Killer. You'll see all these links at the bottom of it, so please check those out. And is there anything else you wanted to say, Lenore?
Well, I can't think of anything.
All right, perfect.
What about the monkey?
Oh, and hey, you know, very happy to have two monkeys now.
There you go.
And space monkey as Yay. Well. You know, who doesn't
We're a bunch
speak.
Of monkeys.
We're a bunch of monkeys. All right, guys. Thank you guys all for listening, and I hope you enjoyed it.
Bye.